Good evening.
I was born with wanderlust. There isn't a place in this world that I don't want to go and I don't want to see. I want to know it all. I want to be able to see the museums, the monuments. I want to be able to walk the streets and see the shops. I want to be able to sit in the cafes and talk to the people and find out who they are. Why are they like us? Why are they different? And how does their story relate to those monuments, those museums, and their cultures? But there is one place that has called to me since I can remember. It's one place that my heart and my soul have always felt drawn to. Maybe it's because I watched the Ten Commandments as a child, and I really fell in love with Yul Brynner as Ramses, I'm not real sure. But you're right, it's Egypt. It's the place where Moses and Joseph and Ramses and all the pharaohs walked, dawn of some of the most important parts and aspects of our culture. It wasn't the cheapest, but finally, after much scrimping and saving in 2010, Brian, Evan, and I were able to book a tour with the American Archaeological Institute to go to Egypt. Imagine going with an archaeologist, a tour guide, and people who were as excited about seeing and doing as I was. We read all the literature and got ready to go. Now, this meant it was just post the Second Iraq War, being conservative in dress, not being overly verbatim about being from the United States. It meant making sure that we didn't bring jewelry with us because we didn't want to give this conservative nation, and by the way, it is the most liberal of the Islamic nations, any reason to wonder who we are and what our hidden agenda was. We also got our shots. It's not a Western state. And we made sure we had our Cipro ready in hand because Montezuma's revenge has now been called Pharaoh's revenge. And off we went. We landed. And we stayed our first few nights at the Mena House. From our balcony, we saw the pyramids and the Sphinx. And we got to meet everybody else on our tour. Amazing people. They came from all across the world. We had Australians, Canadians, somebody from Michigan, California, and Texas, and Minnesota. And then there were those others. Yep, you know how you've always got those people? I am talking about when we said, where are you from? They said, oh, around. What do you do? Oh, we get about. These two women were dripping in jewels. I mean, they had gold on their wrists, rings on their fingers that were studded with diamonds and rubies and emeralds. Their necklaces were layered, and they had these earrings that I can only imagine seeing on Oscar night. They certainly were not modestly dressed, and they stood out like a sore thumb. Not only that, but their attitude was totally different. I am talking about being at the edge of the pyramids, touching them. We're all in awe, listening rapturously to our tour guide and hearing, yeah, been there, done that. Isn't there anything else to do? Okay, fine, whatever. By about the fifth day of this, our attitudes had changed. Yep, they can just go do what they want. They didn't show up for lectures anyhow, who cared? We'd go down a little early for breakfast because we didn't want to necessarily have to sit with them and listen to the whine. And, you know, it was just easier not to deal with it. If they fell behind or lagged, we just let them lag. And off we went about our business. And we had a wonderful time. And about 5 days, 6 days into the trip, as we were on the boat heading down towards Luxor, we were getting ready to go early in the morning, and of course they didn't show up, and it was like, yeah, whatever. And one of the two of them, Isabel, came out, and she said, my friend is really sick, and I don't know what to do. I'm really scared. I don't even know who to go to for help. Luckily, one of the members of our tour group happened to be the physician's assistant in his job in Michigan, and said, I can come and see her. He went off, and we got ready to go on our way and waited for him to rejoin us. And he came back and he said, you know, she's got one of the worst cases of Pharaoh's revenge I've ever seen. I need to get her Cipro, and I can't write a prescription here. I have enough because I brought some shots. I gave her an antibiotic, but I don't have any Cipro. Well, being the good Minnesotan that I am, I always have double of everything, just in case. And so did Brian and so did Evan. And without thinking, we said, hey, you know what? We got extra. We'll just go grab some of ours and you can have it. And between the three of us, we created a bottle, sent it off to them and said, by the way, if you need some, we've got a little bit extra. Didn't think anything of it. Didn't see them that day, nor the next. On the third day, we were sitting on the boat. Yes, we were floating down the Nile. And all of a sudden, they both showed up for happy hour. First time we had seen them since the day that we departed. And they walked over and said, thank you. Wow, well, that's pretty cool. Now, being who I am, what's the follow-up question? So, are you ready to talk yet? And we sat down and I said, I know you're hiding something. It's been pretty obvious. You know, we'd like to know who you are. Finally, they said, well, here's the deal. We're actually embedded in Baghdad. And we're working on infrastructure rebuilding. And the thing about it is, we're not really well-liked anywhere we go. And I said, well, why is that? And then the light dawned. Baghdad, Halliburton, they've been in the news defrauding the government. They work for a company that wasn't really well-loved. And I said, are you with Halliburton? Yeah, yeah. And I said, okay, makes sense. And I said, okay, I gotta ask the obvious question, why? Why would you work for them and why are you in Baghdad? And she said, you know, here's the thing. We've been there 3 years. We have two more to go. And when we leave there, we will have enough money set aside that we can go home. One was from California, one was from Texas. And we can buy the house we want and we can choose whether or not we ever wanna work again. But the downside is, for 90 days, we are in a bunker. We're not allowed to leave. There's no shopping. There's no grocery store. There's a PX. We eat with the guys. Sometimes mortars and shells come overhead, and we have to just hunker down. Every 90 days, we are told to leave for 30 days for recoupment, but we can't go home because of the political situation. We may not be allowed back. And so it's really tough. Got it. Wow. Great story. Okay, got to ask the next obvious question. What's with the deal with the jewels? She said, here's the other part of it. This is our wealth. There's no bank in Iraq that's safe. There's no place that we can go and leave our money when we travel. And so we choose to go places that have great gold and jewel markets because we can convert our cash into wearable banks. Needless to say, the whole relationship changed once we understood that they were just like us and we were on our way to have a good time. They started even coming to some of our conversations. And the interesting one was they came to the political conversation that we had with some of our Egyptian friends. This was 2 months before the Egyptian revolution. And one of the comments that Isabel made was, I hear a lot of mumbling and grumbling in the streets. Is it real? Together we finished all of our trips and we went on our merry way. We exchanged emails, and up until a few years ago, every once in a while I'd even email and receive updates. By the way, they did go back to work. It gets really boring being stuck at home. And they did get their dream houses. And they never forgot the trip to Egypt. Thank you.